In the book of Enoch, chapter 1, and 3 words in verse 11. The book of the Acts, the first chapter, 3 words in the 11th verse. This same Jesus, this same Jesus. These words are addressed unto them who have known and have grown in the company of Jesus for the last 3 years. They have been granted that favor of so having an interest in those wondrous things which he had to declare to them of the will of his Father, which he had so come to accomplish in his own body. They had known what it was to have familiar conversation with him. They had been able to go to him in all their trouble and their difficulties, and he had always been responsive unto their various requests that they made of him. They had also known what it was under his commandment so to go forth and to be empowered in a way which none other were, whereby they were able to cast out devils, to raise the dead, and to heal all manner of disease. These are some of the great favors into which these apostles had been inducted by the Lord. And in that wherein they so experienced the bitter sorrow of his loss, when to all intents and purposes they had seen him taken down from the cross, laid in the sepulchre, and their unbelieving hearts, as it were, rolled an extra stone, as it were, unto the mouth of that sepulchre, for they knew not, they did not understand that which he had so spoken to them of the fact of him rising again the third day. But under wonders, they find that according to his own word, he comes into the midst of them, and he comes with the message of peace. And for 40 days he abides in their midst, and he gives them various commands, and he makes himself known unto them by many infallible proofs. And he is continually speaking unto them of the kingdom of God. And the time has come when he must be received up. For that which is relative unto his whole work upon earth has been accomplished. It is finished. There is nothing more to be done. And so, once again, he entrusted, he so communicated unto his apostles that wherein they were to live in the constant realization of himself through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So this is something that the apostles did not and could not, as it were, so grasp up to this present time. that the very absence of Jesus from them would not impoverish them, that his bodily presence would not indeed have such an effect upon them in their ministrations and in those places unto which they were called. They could not conceive that what they had known in the past should still, in his absence, be realized in the present. Well, are you and I any the better? There are seasons and there are times when we are feelingly conscious that the Lord is with us. He favors us with the shedding abroad within our souls of his love. And faith working by that love hath a blessed, lively apprehension of himself. And we feel very near unto him. And then there is the withdrawing of his presence. You are no longer favored with those former times and seasons wherein you were indeed in blessed communion and fellowship, conscious with him. And he seems to have left you. And what you lose sight of and what you do not understand is that what he was to you in the past, he is still in the present. That wherein he was pleased so to favor you with those views of himself and those insights into the wondrous works which he had so wrought on your behalf, though you are now no longer sensible of the presence of that wherein his spirit doth still indwell thy heart powerfully and effectually in these things, you forget that that wherein the relationship existed between you and him is indissoluble. It can never change. And what he has been to you in the past, he'll be to you in the present. And he'll be to you to all eternity. For it is the same Jesus. Yes, the disciples then, we can enter into their feelings, we can realize and commiserate with them as they look into the future as to how they should feel relative unto their inability so to cope with things as when they were very, very conscious of his presence. And here they are arrived at the day when he was to ascend up on high. They are together. They are speaking together. They are still enjoying that communion together. They are risen Lord. Yes. And as they look upon him, and as they worship and adore him, they see the very darling of their hearts rising up from earth, ascending up, and they look after him with longing eyes, until the very clouds of the heavens do so hide him from view. A curtain has been drawn over the scene. There is a veil through which they cannot penetrate. And they would look and look and look and look themselves away, as it were, if only they could catch a glimpse at him. And there are two men, messengers from heaven. And they come and they speak unto these disciples as they gaze toward the heavens. And there is a note of reproof and rebuke. It is so in the very terms that they use concerning them. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? You can't spend your whole life, you know, in that which is in the heavens. There are times when you have to come down to the hard facts of life, the things with which you have to deal in your everyday life. Yet, why then stand ye like this? It is a state of inactivity. It is, as it were, a state of idleness. When you should, as it were, be found about that which is relative unto the commands that he has so given unto you, you should be hastening unto Jerusalem, ye men of Galilee, that ye may receive the promise, yes, that promise of his Father, that the Holy Ghost should indeed be in you. I wonder how many of us are sometimes so taken up. I'm not going to say simply gazing to heaven. I'm going to use another word, because I believe there are many who do this in these things. They speculate. They're looking up, as it were, into heaven, seeking to rise above all the things of which relate to this earth, and they think that they are going to dwell, as it were, in a world of their own, apart from everybody else. And we've got to come down to the facts. We've got to come down to the practical things of life. We've got to know what it is to live our life down here, even as Jesus lived it, for 33 years. Why stand ye then gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, you know what he's told you, you know what he's been to you. Well, he is unchangeable. There is no difference ever occurring, ever coming to pass in him. What he has told you, he means. And that which he means shall indeed come to pass. And what he has told you he will be to you, he will be that exactly unto you. Or how we find after the day of Pentecost, how that they have to move and minister in the power of Jesus Christ. How near and nigh he was unto them in those days. Why, men had only to look upon them, and they had to take knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. But you know, that wouldn't have availed, would it, if they had still been gazing up into heaven? What I'm trying to get at is this. You know, we may be seeking to pry into things which God has wisely withheld from us. There are certain things, like he told them in the beginning of this chapter, when they said, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But he says, ye shall, receive power. That is not the power to tell that which relateth unto the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. It is the power which is relative unto the life that they will have to live, inasmuch as they shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. This same Jesus. These three words, they are full of comfort. Yet, to those disciples, what comfort? The reality of the unchanging nature of their Lord and Master must have been unto them. But I want to look at it in one or two other ways at this time, because they're all bearing upon our subject. This same Jesus, full of comfort for all them that do desire to know him, who have some knowledge of him, because here is the way to heaven. Here is the forerunner. Here is the one who has entered into the holiest of all. Here is the one who has opened the door whereby all that believe in him shall indeed be brought to that place which he doth so possess and occupy at the right hand of his Father in heaven. Yes, every stumbling block, every hindrance, everything that stands in the way has been removed for every one of his people. Yes, we look and we would look up, and in the midst of all the practical things which we had to experience in life, we remember the end of his life. We remember what he passed through. We remember what he endured. And we remember how that eventually he was taken up into heaven. Yes, so with every true believer, the way may be hard. The difficulties that may be known in this life may be indeed hard to endure and to pass through. But we're passing on. And where are we passing to? You say, we're going to the grave. Are you? I know my body is going to the grave. I know that my body must at some time or other be laid in Mother Earth. But I know something far better than that. I know that when I get to the end of a journey, then I shall find and know the way to heaven. Yes, like that poor man, just by way of illustration, who was without the gate of the rich man. Yes, and he died. And he was conveyed by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Yes, said Abraham, he is now comforted. When you and I, if we are indeed his, we shall know what it is to have a bodyguard. Yes, there will be that about us, as we may draw our last breath, whereby we shall indeed have that company to convey us, to receive us into heaven. For he is the forerunner. He is the way to heaven. Doesn't that comfort your heart? Oh, you look upon death as the last enemy, and most certainly it is. But there is one who has the keys, you know, of death and of hell. And that is the one who is the way to heaven, the same Jesus. And he has gone there for that purpose, to intercede on the behalf of his disciples. Here again, I'll only take one instance of it, because the scriptures are full of it. But it is as a result of his intercession at the right hand of the Father that they experienced the Pentecost. And it is in the result of his intercession on behalf of all his people that they are all begotten by his Spirit, that they are all born into the kingdom of God. And dost thou know anything of this? This same Jesus, this one who is interceding on thy behalf at the Father's right hand, have you been a receiver of that wherein he, by his Spirit, has entered into your heart and become the indwelling of it? You say, what are you talking about? How can he be in heaven and still be the indweller of my poor heart? Oh, we've got scripture for it. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. He dwells. And you know that word dwells there in the original means to make his home. Yes, this is what Paul was so desiring, that the church might indeed realize and enter into. Do we realize that that which is relative unto the intercession of our Lord for us brings him very, very nigh unto us, this same Jesus? Oh, you look at him when he was here upon earth. You behold that wherein his compassions and so forth are so made manifest. Why, my dear hearer, the Spirit is that one who so indwelleth your heart, so making within your heart the reality of Jesus to be known and enjoyed, that you may know that all that he was unto his own when he was on earth, he is just that unto you. And when you read the Gospels, you can say, that is my Jesus, that is the one who has possessed my heart by his love. The intercession of thy Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But again, the same Jesus, and I hear him speaking unto Mary, was it not, after his resurrection? And he told her to go and tell his brethren. Now what was the message? Tell them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. The same Jesus. Behold what a wonderful relationship you have unto God, as it is so revealed in your union with him. Oh, here is that then that know no change. For he is the same. Why, that which relateth unto himself is perfect. And everything that relateth unto his mystical body as it existed in himself, ye are perfect in Christ Jesus. Ye are complete in him. There can never be any change in the same Jesus, the great head of his church, the mystical body of Christ. Oh, can you not then perceive the comfort that even cometh from such a truth as that? You in your heart You read and meditate upon that, yea, and you feed upon it. I have, only this last week, for it has struck me so forcibly. Time and time again, I find my Lord withdrawing himself from everybody, going to the mountain and praying unto his Father. Praying unto his Father. And I go to my Father and your Father in that relationship in him and this same Jesus. I can go on the relationship that he is my Father, that I can call him my Father. I recollect a man, and I believe that he was taught in the things of God, but he told me once, he said, you know, I can never use that term, Father. I can't go to him, as it were, and call him that. It seemed too great, so awful for him to claim that relationship. But my dear hearer, he is the Father of all them that believe in Christ Jesus. And where that relationship existed, then we can go, and we can go as one in Christ, and we can so call upon our Father. Ah, wasn't that the prayer that he so exhorted his disciples to pray? I know there are thousands and millions that may use it in a parrot-like sense, without realizing any love within their heart toward the one to whom they are praying. But if thou knowest the reverence and the awe that so enters into the heart of a child, when they do so have to approach that which is a relative unto their natural father, how much more so, even though you are a baby, Grace, you, with all that sense of reverence and awe that so possesses your spirit, nevertheless, hath the right of access into his presence, because it is the same Jesus. Where does God reveal himself but in Christ? Where are the shining forth of deity ever operate but in Christ? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Yes, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God, the three one Jehovah. The God shines gracious through the man, this same Jesus. Yes, and he is coming again. There is a time coming when he will surely, as these two men clothed in white reminded these disciples, he will surely come in like manner. Yes. What does that signify unto us? Well, in the first place, it means this. The same Jesus. He shall be coming again because he has led captivity captive. Satan, hell, death, that wherein anything would conspire against that which is relative to his one church, he takes it into captivity. You know, here again for a moment, I feel I must go back, because we have some lessons, you know, in the Old Testament regarding that truth. And are you not reminded of Job? And how that when the sons of God were gathered together, Satan came into the midst of them. And how that God called attention unto his servant Job and gave him a wonderful character. And how that Satan turned upon him and told him, ah, well, he only fears thee for what he gets from thee. Let some disaster, let something come upon him, and you will find that he will turn round and curse thee to thy face. And God said, well, he's in thy hand. Don't you touch his life. What is the result? The hedge that wherein God so protected his servant, he draws in bit by bit until that which is relative unto his life is confined and enveloped and encompassed in the faithfulness of his God. That which enabled Job to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Dost thou know that wherein too likewise he was thus led to exclaim, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He knew that he was coming again. Yet, even right back in those days. And why? Because there is that confidence and that trust within his heart at bottom, that that which related unto all these things was held and governed by him who reigneth in the heavens. Yet, all taken captivity by him. We look at the world today. We look at what is coming to pass on the earth. We need not be surprised by the way things are working out. Even abounds, Satan is up to. And this world can never look for anything better. Never mind what the philosophers say. Never mind how the optimists may continually be saying, oh yes, we're working and contriving something which will eventually make the world better. This world is on the downward grade all the time. And it inevitably must be while sin and Satan and evil dwells within the heart of man. Oh, what a massive collection of all that relates to diabolical foes are so found in their congregating together against the gospel, against the truths that are proclaimed in the Word of God. No, but wherever there may take place, wherever suffering may ensue, wherever we may live to see all the coming generations, this we know. There is one who governs. There is one who rules. The one who casteth out the devil. The one who has power over all evil. The same Jesus. And now he has gone and ascended up on high to fulfill all things, or to feel full all things. What the Word of God has spoken is all going to come to pass. It's going to be seen by the eyes of men in that wherein these narratives shall become lifelike, and the very truth shall be evident unto the passing generations, until the end shall come, and then there shall be the consummation of all things in him. Yes, and he's gone to heaven, there to rule and to reign until all things are filled up, fulfilled by him. Yes, And we have an oath here not only of comfort, but we have that wherein there is the striking of the note, whereby we may indeed be cheered and encouraged in the fact that the same Jesus, he still looks upon those who are left behind as they watch him go up into heaven as his brethren. He has been calling them that. Ever since the resurrection, he has, as it were, I say it with all reverence, he's been driving home that point. They were his brethren. What does it mean, this same Jesus? Well, what they had known, I'll repeat it, what they had known him in this life, they would still find him to be in the future. What is it? Why, the same Jesus is the one who is touched with the feeling of my infirmity. The same Jesus is the one who knows the way that I take. The same Jesus is the one who will supply all my needs. It is the same Jesus that hath spoken peace unto his brethren. He hath declared, everything in your life is settled. I planned it. It's going to be worked out. And ye in all these things are going to find that everything that I have been unto mine own, I am to you. Sinner, do you feel your need of this Jesus? Then let me remind you that in these three words we have everything that a sinner can need. Is it an advocate that you need? Then we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You see, in all these things he is unchanging. There's no alteration, no variableness, nor shadow of turning. Is it that ye require an intercessor? Well, here is one who ever maketh intercession for all that come unto God by him. Is it that you want to know the truth? Then here is he who is the prophet, who revealeth the Father, who maketh known the truth. And that is the truth that shall make you free. He shall be thy teacher. Yes, where shall the Holy Spirit go that he may lead us into our truth? The Holy Spirit taketh of the things of Jesus. Here is the great truth speaker. Here is the one in whom is no change and therefore cannot lie. Thy priest, is that what you want? Well, here in this same Jesus is thy high priest, the one who hath by one offering forever put away all thy sin, the one who hath shed his blood on Calvary's tree, the one who has undertaken for thee that he might present thee holy and blameless, yes, that he might indeed so present thee unto his Father as all fair, as righteous, and as pure, and as holy. Yes. And here is my high priest on high. He has entered into the holiest of all with his own blood. The atonement is made. Nothing can be brought against that poor sinner whose soul is brought to trust wholly and utterly in him. You have a high priest, one who I have just reminded you of, one who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You have a king in this same Jesus. Ah, they would write it over that on that cross. And oh, how the people, as it were, began to argue about it, and request that it might not be so recorded, as it were, as in Paul said, what I have written, yes, because there was an overruling, constraining power whereby he had to do the bidding of God, although he knew not from whence it came. Yes, he reigned on the cross. He was king, crucified in weakness, but raised in power. And I look to the throne of God and I see one. Ah, blessed be his name. The one who, when he was here on earth, turned unto these disciples and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he told them then, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature that is under heaven. Oh, we preach the gospel because of the kingship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who reigns forever, the same Jesus. I can't stay upon these things, but let me remind you that the same Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is the way and the only way unto the Father. And look at the meaning that is contained within these words, and what will you find? Why, simply this. When he rose from the dead, he told his disciples to behold his hands and his feet. He has now ascended up into heaven, and I hear, as it were, the voice coming forth from the throne of God. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. What does it mean? Why that thou art ever with me? Always in my view, always with me in all my acting. Yea, thou art continually with me. No wonder he told the disciples, when are he left? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Lift up your eyes, you who are downcast, faint-hearted, doubting. Behold where thy name is recorded, and behold that wherein thou hast that interest and that part in himself in a precious union, and that everything that he doeth, he doth on behalf of his people, for their names are engraved on the palms of his hand. And in these words you have an incentive to service, to activity. What is it? Well, he told the disciples that they were to follow him when he was gone. And if it is the same Jesus, we listen to the same commands and we follow him. And we triumph in him. And we glory in him. The same Jesus. Yes, yesterday and today and forever. And in conclusion, there is the promise, the same Jesus. You'll have the proof of it. You'll have the proof in that where I, by the Holy Spirit, shall indeed descend and take up my dwelling place in your heart. Let me read a portion of Scripture to end with, that you may be confirmed in this knowledge of him. Listen to this. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. The same Jesus. And I have just read that which is to be known by them who are his. Oh, that you may realize more and more as time passes on that there is a glorious prospect for you, that the same Jesus is the one whom the disciples had for 33 years, but whom I shall have to all eternity. Amen. If the Lord will, this service will be followed by a short prayer meeting. There will also be a prayer meeting here on Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. And Mr. Pollard is expected to preach here next Lord's Day. The annual church meeting will be held on Monday, the 16th of March. Thank you. grace, the love, and the communion of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be with us each, now and evermore. Amen.